Hello, everyone. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about an extension to the vision night, just to explain some things. And I actually had 5 points that I wanted to go over fairly quickly that would help us start and engage and move forward. Because I realize it's one thing to put out a vision, but it's another thing to actually describe the footpaths ahead of us. And I think it's important to do that. Because with the vision, we have to approach it with presence, consistency, an engagement in relationship, curiosity and acceptance, and ultimately to model Christ, which leads to an invitation. All of this takes time. But when we look at these 5 points individually, we have to look at presence, which just simply means that we have to be in the community. We have to be in our neighborhoods. So from a church point of view, if we were to open up our church and treat it a little bit more like a home and somewhere where we can invite friends to come and play cards or get to know them on that level, or run workshops or anything like that, we actually have to be in the community. And that means more than a Sunday morning, we have to start showing up. I'm personally there between Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and that's usually a light week. I'm down there fairly often, and I get to know the people that are out there. And it's not the homeless necessarily, though I am getting to know them as well. It's the people down the block. I ran into a guy named Dennis on Sunday, and he was expressing that he wanted to check our church out, and he just lives in an apartment building down the block. So these are people that live in the area. We've got to get outside. We've got to get to know them. We have to start inviting them, talking to them. The only way we can do that is by being there outside of Sundays. So we may need to start spending time down there. I met Lance there recently for coffee at the Tim Hortons, which is just about a block down. And that's how you start reaching out. So we've got to start looking at the church as a neighborhood. We have to start having presence. And presence leads us to that second point, which is an engagement in relationship. Because it's not just about showing up and giving out tracts. This isn't about necessarily a faceless outreach. This is about getting to know people and them getting to know you. Because that's really the second part that's important, is that we are known and we are fully known. And we get to know people as well. That's a beautiful part of relationship, is that it's not a one-way street. And one of the things I do appreciate about the video from Jacob's Well is that when that one person mentioned that she couldn't differentiate between someone who is volunteering and someone who is coming to visit, because that means that there's that relationship that's both ways. And I've had those encounters myself with human connections with people that wander the area, and it just comes down to realizing that I need them as much as they need me. We all both have and all have something to share. So it's a matter of that engagement and relationship. Don't go down there. Don't hang around people that live in that area with the expectation that you have something to give or they have something to take. Rather, go down there and see if there's a possibility of making friends. And we can do that with the facility that we have. We can play cards. We can play games. We can do book club. We can do all kinds of things. It's hard to invite people to a Bible study because sometimes that can be weird if you're not from a Christian environment. It'd be like, hey, come on, we're going to go study the Webster's Dictionary, and then we meet every week and we just go through a word at a time. Now, that may interest some people and it may bore the heck out of others. So we have to look at this as like, what can we do from a relationship point of view of just getting to simply getting to know people? How can we do that? What do we need to do differently? Because that's what leads into point three. Curiosity and acceptance. People are going to come and they're going to have different ideas than our own, different beliefs than our own, and that has to be okay. They have to be able to say, I believe in this and this is why. I don't believe in Christianity and this is why. And it has to be okay. It's like at the workplace where we accept people for believing different things, and that's okay. And ultimately, I think that is the definition of tolerance, because tolerance isn't acceptance. And tolerance isn't even approval. Tolerance is just simply understanding that other people believe other things, and that's okay. If we do that, we can then earn the right to share the gospel into their lives. If we say, here, listen to someone, talk about where they what they believe and how they got there, it could just simply be that they were really wounded by the church at some point, and now they just hate the church. Because there's a big difference between hating God and hating the church. I've had to apologize on the behalf of the church in general, worldwide, a lot of times, because people get wounded in one way or the other, and it's difficult for them to overcome. So they paint that picture and say, oh, I don't want anything to do with God. maybe they really do want to have something to do with God, but there's a threshold or a barrier because the church has wounded them in the past. The church is made up of imperfect people, I myself being one of them, you being one of them. So if we approach people with curiosity to learn who they are and explain, have them explain to you what their spiritual beliefs are and why they believe that, sometimes the best conversation is just listening to that and saying, okay. And then after a while, they might give permission for you to explain what you believe. This is just a part of that relationship. It's a part accepting people for believing different things and not expecting to convert them to Christianity within the first conversation. It may take just simply getting to know each other over playing a game of crib. And maybe you can have that conversation. And maybe two or three times down the road that conversation gets a little more in-depth. And maybe they'll accept prayer or they need some help in some way. And you're able to say that Jesus can be that reset button for their lives. That comes through intentional engagement in relationship. And I think it's important for us to have that, because the when we have engagement in relationship and we have curiosity and acceptance, we have to have consistency. You see, I don't believe it's possible to show up to church once a month and have a relationship with people at church. I don't think that's possible. The reason I don't think that's possible is because you're really just there when you have time to make time for it. If you're down at church and you're there 4 weeks out of every month, or five if it's one of those months, then you're going to get to know people and people are going to get to know you. If you're down in our church area and you're getting to know people on a regular basis more than one time a week, people are going to get to know you and you're going to get to know them. And suddenly the church becomes a living room. It becomes this idea more than just the way the chairs are structured or whether we have couches. It becomes a home for some. And that's what we can engage in with curiosity, with relationship, with acceptance, that ultimately will help us to model Christ. Because when we are around people and we're listening to them and we're asking questions and they're asking questions of us and we're sharing stories and they're sharing stories, we're in community with one another. And who better to bring into that community than Jesus Christ? Now, you could say that, well, why didn't we get to it in the first place? Why didn't we just start by handing out a tract and preaching Jesus? You know what? That's great. I'm never going to say that's a bad idea. That's an awesome idea. But I would like to say that that's not the only idea. It's not the only idea, because some people just simply need to wade into the waters a little more slowly. Some people need that connection, that human connection in life that's so very difficult to find. There's a quote that I've come to love over the years by Jean Vanier. And it's just simply that the great question in each of us is, am I of value? Is there someone who believes in me sufficiently to be concerned about me and live in a covenant relationship with me? This is the cry for bands of friendship. It's the cry out in which we experience in different ways. There is this cry to be loved by a father and mother who know how to hold one in our own weakness. It's the cry which springs from the fragility of the infant, of the insecurity of the adolescent. It is the cry of the adult with a mental handicap who needs tenderness, who needs love and kindness, compassion, personal nourishment, support and encouragement. It's the cry which says, I need you. Your life gives me love and roots. It's also the cry of every human person, because each of us carries our fragilities and our difficulties. Each of us cries out to be loved by someone who will support us. It is also the cry which turns us to God. Sometimes we can stand on a corner and give it a track, and that's successful. Maybe not in the moment, but maybe in the future in years when people remember that they were given this and what they read. But sometimes people just simply need a brother or a sister beside them to play cards. Sometimes they just need to do an art project, be able to create in a world where they have been unable to be creative. We can provide a living room for them. We can provide a home, but we have to be there, consistently be there, not just once in a while. We have to approach people with curiosity, and we have to give them acceptance and understanding. And through all of this, we must model Christ, because this is all for naught if we're not leading them to Jesus Christ. It's an invitation. And this vision is an invitation for our church to be more than just a Sunday place. It's something to be more like the upper room where the disciples, you know, encountered Jesus Christ. Imagine what that must have been like after Jesus ascended into heaven. That meeting place then becomes a place and a gathering for the family of God. Wouldn't have that been amazing? We can be that kind of place with Jesus at the center and with the idea of having presence, consistency, engagement of relationship, curiosity and acceptance, and modeling Jesus. This is our invitation. The time is now.